Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
And welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adelblue along with Tony Stone. The Yellow Jackets took care of business this past weekend, winning four games over Western Washington. Boy, what a record they've encompassed now. 24-6 in the Great Northwest Athletic Conference, 33-11 overall. Thing that stands out about these games, Tony, is 28 runs over 2 days, including 20 on Sunday. Obviously, if you did have any concerns about the offense, and I don't think you had a whole bunch of them, obviously those were pretty much dispelled this weekend, I would think.
Yeah, we finally came alive offensively. And, you know, one of the players that I think finally busted out in a big way was Leslie Davis. I'd been talking to her all last week about, you know, a couple of things as far as her mechanics at the plate. We did one thing, and then right before the first game, I told her, I said, go in there and be aggressive. I said, if it's the first pitch, if it's the seventh pitch, doesn't matter. You see a good pitch to hit, swing it like we want you to. And her first at-bat, she hits a two-run bomb that just set the tone for the entire weekend. You know, Shea hit a home run later on that inning, built a 4-0 lead in the first inning, and we've had tendencies to build leads early on and then relax and let our defense and pitching take over, and we've let a few teams come back and get into the ballgame with us, but this weekend it just didn't seem like it was going to happen. We continued offensively and continue to put runs on the board, and you know, our pitching and defense was still there. I think we only had maybe 2-3 errors all weekend. Pitching was there again, so yeah, I'm pretty happy with all three aspects of the game.
I do want to talk about Leslie Davis later on in the program because I've just been turned into a big fan of hers. But I got to ask you about Lisa Moore's performance, you know, throwing the one-hitter. Interesting game from the standpoint that I suppose if you would have had a crystal ball before the game that would have only given you partial information and you would have seen that she was going to have in seven walks, my guess is Lisa probably would have been riding some pine during the game. But here she comes within two outs of a no-hitter despite the seven walks. I mean, she was just absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, and really the walks aren't quite indicative of, you know, what is going on. I think from a fan's perspective, you can see seven walks and say, well, maybe she didn't have good control. But that's not exactly accurate because there are some hitters that are in Western Washington's lineup that we say, hey, listen, you know, these guys are good hitters. We're not going to let them hurt us. We're not going to let them use their bat. We pitch around them. We don't put anything over the plate, and if they end up swinging and missing, they're swinging at missing at balls they shouldn't be swinging at. So it's more an effective and strategic move to walk the players that we do walk, and we concentrate on hitters that we know we can beat. We're not going to let any hitter that's having a good, you know, season or a good day beat us. And, you know, most of those walks are more strategic moves than anything. But overall, you know, when Lisa has that command, when she can put the ball wherever she wants, she's very tough to beat. I mean, I've actually seen her pitches in practice. I've stood in the batter's box a couple of times for her just to, you know, have a live hitter there. And, you know, she's very difficult to read, the ball coming out of her hand. Her arm circle is so fast. And boy, did she have good command of her changeup. I mean, she throws about 62, and then that changeup comes out of her hand at about 45, and it just freezes hitters. So overall, I'm very happy with what Lisa did. You know, and we talk about it after the ball game. You know, it was close to a no-hitter. The rule is you don't say anything during the game, and actually somebody mentioned it, I believe, in the sixth inning, and maybe that was the jinx, but you know, it's nice that, you know, we get those things. It's kind of an added bonus. But overall, I think Lisa's most happy that the team got the win, and we did well this weekend.
It's funny you should mention that. I don't know if you're referring to me or not, but I was sitting over there by Ron Wright's, and I mentioned about the sixth inning. The minute it passed my mouth, I took it back. I said, forget I said that. But, you know, that brings up an interesting point from a coach's standpoint when somebody's got a game like a no-hitter there. Do you leave them alone? Do you just basically – because I did notice Lisa was kind of standing in the, you know, by the corner of the dugout. Nobody was really saying a whole lot from her. From a coach's standpoint, do you follow that kind of mantra that you leave a pitcher alone when she's got a no-hitter?
Yeah, and if she's throwing that well, there's really no reason for me to talk to her. But, you know, fourth or fifth inning comes around, she was focused. I mean, she was in a zone. And I saw her, you know, when we'd go out for our defensive half of the inning, she had her glove and she was running out to the circle. That told me that, you know, I know exactly what's going on in her head, and there's no reason for me to even talk to her. And then, you know, the sixth inning comes around, we finish up, still no hits. Same thing, you know, I didn't say anything to her. I saw her run out in the top half of the seventh, and she was going to get it done. Credit Western Washington's hitter, I believe it was Emil, that hit that line drive just past Whitney Whittemore. I mean, Whitney had a great effort, dove for the ball just about a couple inches out of her reach. And, you know, we were sitting on the bucket, Aaron and I, and I told him I think we should credit Whitney with an error. But we decided that it was a hit, and that busted up the no-hitter. And, you know, refocused. She got the next two outs very quickly. Lisa did. So overall, yeah, a little disappointed that there wasn't a no-hitter, but can't be too disappointed with a one-hit performance against a pretty good offensive ball club.
And then Casey Condor, her maturation process continues. Boy, what a year she's having. May end up being the GNAC newcomer of the year. Obviously, she comes in the second game. You win 5-1. Boy, she just continues to impress.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about her growth. It's almost, you can see it on a daily basis now. She actually called me yesterday because she wanted to work out again on Monday. She said that she didn't feel like she was throwing very well. She, you know, that last game there, we put her in relief. Gave up a few runs towards the end of the ball game, and she's wanting to come back out on Monday and work out again. And I told her, no, you're not doing anything. You're going to rest. You need it. We've got six games coming up, and you know, you got to understand that you still have 3.5 years of college ball left too. We don't want to burn you out right now. So I actually had to force her to rest. She's one of those kids that if you don't put the reins on her, she's gonna be out there every day. And it's a transition for freshmen. They have to understand how many games they're going to be pitching and how important they are, and they have to understand that they have to factor in rest time.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show is brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets and Company. We'll be back with the second part of the Coaches Show coming up next.
Over the years, Hanser's Automotive has earned quite a reputation for their transmission work. But some have forgotten about their general repair and fleet work, well known for their expertise in carburation to fuel injection, diesel trucks, small cars, foreign cars, brakes, and tune-ups. Hanser's has the top ASE-certified master technicians in the area that get the job done right. No matter what kind of vehicle, Hanser's can repair it. Call 248-7795. See all that they can do or visit them online at Hansers.com.
Talking with Tony Stone, the head coach for the Montana State Billings Lady Yellow Jackets softball team, coming off a four-game sweep over Western Washington. And actually, I didn't think we'd be talking today. I thought you'd be taking on the University of Great Falls. But, boy, this has been one of those years where there are times you could just kind of throw the schedule out the window. Kind of explained sort of what happened, you know, in terms of those games being canceled and what you've got in store for you this week.
Sure. You know, initially it was we had Great Falls on the schedule. And before that, it was the University of Mary. We were actually supposed to be in Bismarck. University of Mary is having some similar problems that we are with weather. They have a similar rule that non-conference games can be canceled, can be rescheduled in order to accomplish all of your conference schedule. So they had to cancel. We switched over to Great Falls. Well, then we ended up having to cancel a doubleheader with St. Martin's a couple of weeks ago. That turned into, well, we'll just cancel them. We won't reschedule at this time. We're only up one game on Central Washington right now. They have been doing well. We have been holding our lead. Everybody decided from the conference office that we needed to play these two games with St. Martin. So the conference schedule took precedence, had to cancel the games with Great Falls today. We will travel tomorrow to Spokane, and we'll end up playing St. Martin's Thursday morning in a doubleheader, and then we drive to Nampa, Idaho for a four-game set with Northwest Nazarene.
Now, it should be noted that when you do play St. Martin's, you, despite the fact you're playing in Spokane, it will be a home game for you?
Yes, both games will be home. We will be the home team, and they will be considered home games for us, as the schedule will say, but it's also considered a neutral site, and that's just for stats. It doesn't really matter. I mean, we'll be missing our fans, and we'll be missing our home crowd and our home field, but we will be the home team for both games.
I know in talking to you, you know, after the games on Sunday, you said you'd kind of tinkered with the lineup a little bit in terms of moving things around. I wanted to ask you about that, kind of the philosophy of putting together a batting order. You know, I understand that there's kind of a basic blueprint. You know, the first batter is typically someone, a good contact hitter. You know, a lot of times they take a look at a lot of pitches, you know, somebody who doesn't swing a lot of bad pitches. Second batter, a lot of times kind of the same way. Third, fourth, and fifth, you're getting into a little bit more power or what have you. I mean, that's kind of the typical blueprint that you see. But, you know, the one thing I found, and if you've got somebody, a hole in your lineup, God always has a way of finding them. You know, they're always the ones that tend to come up when you've got, like, the bases loaded and two down. You know what I'm saying? When you put together a lineup, what sort of things are you looking at in terms of kind of spacing that out with the players, if you will?
That really depends on how people are doing throughout the season. Initially, we started out with a leadoff hitter in Don Norcross. Don got injured. We tried a couple other people at the leadoff spot. And about a quarter of the way into the season, I put Tarina Stacks there. And the reason for that was Tarina is probably one of the best contact hitters in the conference, possibly in the Western region. My leadoff hitter, I want to make sure that they are going to make contact, because I think that sends a message to the rest of the team that you go up there, that first hitter strikes out. Boy, it really drains the rest of the team. I mean, that first out is a strikeout. Oh, boy, you know, you get things going on in your head. Maybe this pitcher is unhittable, and you, the next couple of batters go into the box maybe a little bit tentative. T doesn't do that. I mean, I remember one day I saw T swing and miss, and I looked at Erin and I said, well, you don't see that every day, do you? That doesn't happen very often. She just makes contact. You know, she doesn't get on base every time, but I think it's very important that that leadoff hitter makes contact, and T is very effective with that. She might get, you know, she might hit a ground ball to the shortstop, a hard ground ball to the second baseman, but, you know, she's going to make contact, and I think that sends a message to the rest of the team. The thing that I did differently last weekend was T's normally our leadoff hitter, and Steph Goslin is normally our number three hitter. Steph's one of the probably the best hitter in the conference right now. Steph has been, you know, intentionally walked several times in the past few weeks. And because of that, I thought, okay, well, let's put somebody ahead of Steph who's going to be able to see some better pitches, because they know that they're going to have to pitch to Steph Goslin at some time. But they know that they don't want to, you know, the opposing team. So I thought, well, let's put somebody ahead of her that might be, you know, struggling a little bit so they can see better pitches. They know that they're going to want to get that out. So they're going to put the ball across the plate a little bit more often because they don't want to see Steph in the next at bat. So I put Leslie Davis there. Hadn't been, in her mind, probably doing as well as she thinks she should be. You know, that kid right there, she thinks if she doesn't hit a home run every at bat, she's a failure. But she's a great player overall and a very, very good hitter. And I think just senior year jitters have been getting to her. Had a quick talk with her last week. I told her, I said, listen, you know, you got to go up there ready to swing the bat. You see a pitch to hit, put your best swing on it, regardless of the result. And I think sometimes she focuses too much on those results. Well, last weekend, not once did I see her go up there with any sort of tentative or any, you know, trepidation whatsoever. First pitch she saw, she hit a two-run home run. And I think that says it all for her aggressiveness, how good she can really be. And then after a two-run home run, now you have to face Steph Goslin, arguably the best hitter in the conference right now. Behind her, behind Steph is then Kelly Parsons. You know, kid's only a sophomore, but when she gets a hold of the ball, she can hit it a long ways. Fifth hitter is traditionally somebody that can hit behind runners. I put Shea Oberg there a couple of times over the past several weeks because she's been hitting the ball opposite field really well. Well, she hits an opposite field home run in that game. So we already have a four-run lead, and we're only five hitters through the lineup. Six, Whitney Whittemore, she's one of those kids that can do anything. She hit a triple. She hit a home run. She's got a couple of doubles. She can steal bases, got a little speed there. 7, 8, 9, I like to hide a few hitters, somebody that's doing pretty well. Alyssa Frank, she's been making great contact. Hit a few doubles, got a few home runs this year. 8 and 9, a little bit more of my speedy hitters, Crystal Bentley and Stevie Howard. So that's how I go into my lineup. Overall, I want that number one hitter to make sure that she's going to make contact. And then I follow up the rest of the way. And like I said, it's dependent upon how people are doing. But overall, I think our lineup is pretty effective no matter where I put anybody.
I do want to talk about Leslie Davis, and I'll tell you why. I think, you know, there's so much talk about the middle of a defense, you know, the catcher and the pitcher, obviously crucial, shortstop, second base, center field. But I think particularly in softball, you know, the third baseman, I mean, they're right up there. It is such an important position with the small ball. They never get an easy play. I mean, the third baseman, it seems like it's either a real slow roller they got to come up on and hurry, or it's a screamer, you know, down the hot box. Leslie Davis, if there's a better third baseman in the GNAC defensively, it's just a personal opinion, mind you. I don't know that I've seen him. I've just been incredibly impressed with her.
Yeah, that's one thing that Jeff Almond, when we first were building the program together, he told me, he says, I got to find me a third baseman that can pick it. That was his phrase. And ultimately what he was saying was that anything that was hit to the third base side, she was going to get. That was his definition of a good third baseman. Well, the funny thing about Les is that she came in, she was a shortstop initially, and she had been moved to third, I believe, her sophomore year. I came in thinking she's a shortstop. I'd seen her play third a little bit the previous year, but watching her, amazement that comes to your mind when you see her play, because she makes very difficult plays, makes it look easy in some ways. Two or three times this past weekend, hard shots to her glove side. And we've worked very hard on this with her lateral movement going to glove side. She stole two or three hits this weekend just because of her quickness and her ability to get lateral. Anything hit right at her, it's an out. It's just an out. And the bunt, I mean, she's so quick to read. Anybody trying to bunt for a base hit, she's become very efficient at barehanding a ball and throwing on the run, and we've worked very hard on that with her too. So it's a very comfortable feeling this year to know that you have a player of Leslie Davis's ability at that corner. We've got to find somebody that's going to be able to replace her, and that's going to be some very big shoes to fill when she leaves this program and she graduates. But for this year, you know, there's nobody better at that position.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets and Company. We'll be back with the final segment of the Coaches Show coming up next.
Since 1937, Conlon's Furniture has been the premier home furnishing shopping choice in Montana, the Dakotas, and northern Wyoming. Conlon's features a wide variety and assortment of major brand furniture and home furnishings to satisfy the first-time buyer, the heirloom seeker, and the most discriminating decorator. Conlon's has major brands like Lazy Boy, Broyhill, Sealy, Simmons, Tempur-Pedic, Palser, and Cochran. See exclusive collections manufactured specifically for Conlon's and marketed under Conlon's private labels. Custom order options are Conlon's specialty, and Conlon's offers great financing alternatives. You owe it to yourself to be comforted by Conlon's.
And welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adelblue along with Tony Stone. And, well, here it is, St. Martin's. Two games on Thursday in Spokane, Washington. A four-game series Friday and Saturday at Northwest Nazarene. And then the Jackets, hard to imagine, finish up the regular season Friday and Saturday, May 1st and 2nd against Central Washington. Let me tell you that it would make a better headline if we go into the Central Washington series tied up, but you have my permission to make it a boring headline if you'd like. This one-game series, this is getting old.
Yeah, we've been talking about that some of the other teams in the GNAC are not helping us out much, but if that's the way it's going to be, that's the way it's going to be, and we'll go into that weekend, and fight it out for the conference title. But hey, Central Washington's playing well. I got to give them credit. They have a very good pitcher in Lindsey Vlahovic, and we can't overlook St. Martin's or Northwest Nazarene. St. Martin's beat Humboldt State earlier this year. They're number one in the region, number four in the country. They are a pretty darn good team. Their record doesn't show it. We played them to 3 1-run ball games this year already. So those two games are going to be the first ones on our road trip, and we have to focus on that first. We don't want to look past that at all. We go to Spokane. We're playing St. Martin's. Anything beyond that, when that situation comes, well, we'll deal with it when it arrives. But St. Martin's has got some good pitching. They've got some very good hitters, and they've got good defense. And like I said, their record doesn't show how good they really can be. But what does show how good they really can be is they beat Humboldt State 2-1. So we have to focus on them first.
You bring up an interesting point, though, and certainly we should make mention that Central Washington doesn't exactly have a cakewalk. I know they've got a number of games against Western Oregon, so we could see some action taking place there. But again, as you've stressed time and time again, you're not worried about anyone else. You're just worried about yourself. But how do you keep the team relaxed in the heat of a conference race like this? Because I would imagine that it's got to be on their mind, going into this series. They know there's really no room for error. You win 4 games and you don't get anything out of it. All you get out of it is you stay 1 game on top of Central Washington. So that's got to be a bit of a drain on a team. I know it would be me.
I think, and I don't know if they would agree with me on this, but the players have something that that keeps them focused on other things, so they don't necessarily look at it from that stressful and pressure-filled point of view. They've got classes. They've got homework. They've got finals coming up. That takes their attention, and they really focus on those things. Now, when we come to practice, they talk a little bit about it, but, the past couple of weeks they've been very loose. There's no, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not tight. They've been joking around with each other. They're happy with what they've been doing. We talked with them after Friday's game where we only scored, 5 runs, 4 runs, and we talked with them after the ball game. We said, hey, good job. We got the 2 wins, but we didn't hit the ball the way we need to. We didn't play, the way we think we're capable of playing. The next day they came out and they did exactly what I asked them to do. I mean, they just dropped the hammer. That's what I think we're capable of doing. And if it takes them being loose during the week and focusing on studies and things like that, and then they just get their time to practice and play ball for their fun time, then we'll take that. That's exactly what I'd like to see, is for them to stay loose. No pressure on us. I mean, we're the ones with the lead right now. We just keep doing what we're doing. And realistically, all the pressure is on Central Washington right now. Is they're the ones that have to make that game up. We get to keep doing what we're doing. They're the ones that are going to have to fight and claw their way back into at least a tie when they come here. So really, there is no pressure on us. We get to keep doing what we're doing. And like I said, we'll focus on some academics to take our minds off any pressure that might be out there.
Real quickly, I think the thing that I really like about this team, obviously, is you're in that great position that everyone wants to be in. And admittedly, I haven't seen Central Washington play, so I hope I'm not speaking out of turn. But in my opinion, you put your best against their best, any team I've seen, you're going to win.
Yeah, and, Central Washington is a very good team. And I think the difference between us and them right now, we have a little bit more depth than they do. We have more depth at pitching. We have more depth at defense. When you look at Central Washington's starters, you look at our starters, put them on the field, it's going to be a good game. Second, third, fourth game, I think that's where we have an advantage, is that we have the depth to compensate for some tired players out there and maybe some tired pitchers, things like that. But, yeah, overall, I think we're very comparable. They've got some very good hitters on their team. They've got good pitching. They've got good defense. We stack up and match up pretty well, but I think the only advantage we have right now is probably our depth.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, SignPro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets and Company. Best of luck to you against St. Martin's and Northwest Nazarene, Coach.
All right. Thank you, Ken.
It's been the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show with Tony Stone. We'll talk to you again next week.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.